Hello and welcome to this episode of the VoiceOver Marketing Podcast. My name is John Melly, and this is the podcast dedicated to teaching in-depth and advanced marketing strategies for people in the voiceover and audio production professions. My goal is to help you make more money by showing you ways to leverage your time, charge more for your talents, and allow you to spend more time doing the things you want to do in your life. Hey there, it's John. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I do appreciate it. Today's episode is a gem. Lots of writer downers. My guest is Rick Lance, the voice of Americana, and we talk about finding your money voice, your signature sound, how to listen to your clients, and they will tell you what to do, what to focus on, how to market yourself, where to spend your energy and your time and your efforts. Just a great episode. Sit down with your favorite beverage, a notepad and a pen, pencil, crayon, your favorite writing utensil, and jot some notes down. This one is a keeper. Before we get into my conversation with Rick, I want to let you know about a couple of things, important things that are coming up. First of all, you can help support the podcast by going to throwmydogabone.com. Why is it Throw My Dog a Bone? Well, let's say you listen to this podcast and you say, you know what, John puts together some great episodes with a lot of great content and has these great guests on, and I learned something from that. Well, I want to be upfront with you. This podcast costs money to host, both for the website and for the audio streaming. And I just had to switch my provider for my web hosting because the guy who ran the company that hosted my website before, he's retired. He's moving on. He's doing something different. And I wish him all the best. But, you know, change happens, and so we got to roll with it. So the podcast costs some money. If you are so inclined, if generosity moves you, you can go to the show notes for this episode at voiceovermarketingpodcast.com. And at the top of this episode, you will find a link to throwmydogabone.com. Why do we call it throwmydogabone.com? Well, like I said, maybe you find value in these episodes and you say, hey, I'm going to throw John a bone. And that's why we call it Throw My Dog a Bone, because I've got two dogs and 20% of your contribution is going to be donated to Forever Home Dog Rescue. That's where we got our magnificent Trudy, the super mutt. She is Quinn the Jacoby's best buddy, and she is the guardian and protector of all things Melly and our homestead here. And she doesn't like the mailman, and she doesn't like box trucks that deliver packages, but she is a snuggle bug, and she's a great companion, and we just love her to death, and we want to support those dog rescues. So 20% after bank charges of your contribution will go to Forever Home Dog Rescue, and then the rest of it is going to be used to help support the costs for this podcast. We just wrote a check to Forever Home Rescue for $30. So thank you to everyone who has purchased dog bones. Now I have to, full disclosure, it's a digital dog bone and a contribution to the podcast. That Throw My Dog a Bone, it's a metaphor. So you're buying a digital dog bone. You can buy one dog bone, 20 dog bones. People have bought as many as 20 dog bones, and it's been very generous. Just go to the show notes for this episode at voiceovermarketingpodcast.com, and you will find a link for throwmydogabone.com. And I thank you in advance for your generosity. The second thing I want to share with you is very exciting. I'm about to publish my book. The book is called The Voiceover Athlete, a practical guide for voiceover talent, professional speakers, singers, and performers, mobility training secrets for protecting your most valuable asset, your voice. Now, this book launch is a couple weeks away, but I wanted to let you know that this is coming. So you should be looking in your email inbox for announcements on how to get this. The other thing I want to let you know is I'm looking for affiliates to help promote the book. And I've got some generous commissions I'm going to be offering. I'm partnering with a veterans organization called Mission 22. It helps address mental health issues for veterans and their families. It's a cause near and dear to my heart. I'll explain more about that in upcoming episodes. But the VoiceOver Athlete book is coming. If you would be interested in being an affiliate and earning commissions from helping sell and launch copies of this book, I invite you to email me directly at john@johnmelly.com. Put in the subject line, book launch affiliate, and I will get the information to you. I'm looking to get this out far and wide, and I've got some generous commissions planned for book launch affiliates. I'm going to have an optional workshop that that people can sign up for as a result of purchasing the book. And like I said, a portion of the sales is also going to go to benefit Mission 22, a great organization that helps veterans and their families. So enough plugs, but this is a marketing podcast. So, you know, you got to expect a little marketing to take place here, right? Here we go. Here's my conversation with Rick Lance. Welcome back. As I said at the beginning of the program, my guest today is Rick Lance. And I wanted to get Rick on the program because of he sent his newsletter to me about a month or so ago, I think. And I loved his branding and his messaging. And I said, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I want to cover in the podcast. But before we start our conversation with Rick, let me just tell you, he has done a lot of stuff. He was a singer. You're still a singer. I see this studio behind you, Rick, with a guitar in the corner. You thought you would start your career as a professional singer, and then somebody handed you a TV commercial script, and you were a photographer for the Navy, and you've done all kinds of neat things. And so I said, I got to get this guy on the podcast. So Rick, I ask everybody to send a bio, but you've got such an extensive bio, and I don't want to tell your story for you. So first of all, thanks for taking the time to do this, and welcome to the Voiceover Marketing Podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you, John, for having me.
Yeah. So, and you, folks, listen to that voice. I mean, Rick, your branding is the voice of Americana or for Americana?
Of Americana.
How did that all come about?
You know, I just kind of listened to my clients, the different things they said about me. They, you know, you're earthy, you're salt of the earth, you're gritty, you're rugged, manly, storytelling, rural, working man, outdoorsman, kind of thing, even cowboy. And I do a bunch of cowboy stuff, and it's a lot of fun. Western stuff, you know, and kind of connected to the land and in sort of a, you know, rugged kind of way. And I just kind of listened to what they were saying. And where does all this lead to? You know, everybody would kind of use these different adjectives and keywords. And I started thinking Americana, because there's so much history involved in what is Americana in this country. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I kind of feel like I'm a part of that, or at least I can talk about it and tell stories about it. So I think that sounds pretty good. Voice of Americana. I had one client that wanted to call me Mr. Americana. And I said, that's a little too much for me to grab onto. And
a little too pretentious.
Yeah, that too. So I
it's like that episode of Seinfeld where the guy was insisting people call him Maestro.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, I love that. So tell us your story. You know, I alluded to it briefly, and there were a couple of writer downers there, and I want to come back to it. You said two key things that I want to bring to people's attention. But before we do that, tell us your journey. You started off as a session singer doing recordings for different musicians. Is that correct?
Well, when I came to Nashville, it was a long time ago. I was trying to set the world on fire, you know, and be a big recording artist. And I had a band up in Pennsylvania, where I'm originally from.
Okay.
And we were doing real well. And I just decided I needed to go to Nashville to accomplish my goals. I gave it about 7 years, and it was just, I kind of got burned out.
Yeah.
So I was singing wherever I could. Doing session work wherever I could as a singer. I'm a guitar player, but not like the guys here in Nashville. These, you know, I can't even call myself a good guitar player around here. Just amazing musicians in this town. But I happened to be in this session. 1993 was my first voiceover, and I was doing a session for a songwriter. I was singing his song, and This ad guy come running in. It's Friday afternoon in 93. And this ad guy wanted to get a TV commercial out for his franchise. It was a beef restaurant. And he had a client that he had to get this out to. And he says to the engineer, he says, well, what about that guy? You know, and he says, well, let's ask him. So they had a guy run in a piece of paper, and I'm reading through it, and it's like none of these lyrics are rhyming. It's like, what's going on here, you know? And I said, do you have a tape? Can you play me a tape? I need to hear this thing. And he said, no, it's a voiceover, Rick. I said, really? Okay, I kind of know what a voiceover is, but he said, I just want you to read it. You want me to just talk? He said, yeah, that's the idea. I said, okay, I'll just talk. So I spent about an hour trying to get this 30-second commercial down and stumble through this script. And I guess they were happy with what I did, but it sounded like crap, I'm sure. But I made $100 more than I expected, and you know, the client was happy, and he waltzed out of there, and they ran the commercial that weekend. So that was my very first voiceover.
Everybody remembers their first voiceover, right?
Yeah, you know, because I happen to be at the right place, right time. That's the kind of thing for me, because I don't have a radio background or anything. I was always, my microphone background was on stage and in the studio for singing. I didn't even take it that seriously till a few years later, many years later. And then it just started, you know, getting more and more. And it's like people were starting to get interested in my speaking voice. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm a singer. But I think what they really like is my speaking voice better than my singing. So maybe I better take a change. So I kind of was getting burned out on the music business. I'd given it about 7 years and just started working off and on with voiceover stuff, doing whatever I could, you know, whatever people wanted me for. And at the same time, to add confusion to this story, I had a commercial photography business going because I was a photographer coming out of the Navy. And I worked for a year in Nashville with as an apprentice situation. And I opened up a studio down there in Nashville, in an old warehouse building. And I was kind of using it for my photography, for some acting workshops. I was beginning to work on camera more. Doing a little theater, which I'd never done in high school. I was too cool for that in high school, you know, and just more voiceover stuff. I had a little voiceover studio tucked in the corner and a train about a half a mile away from me that would come by, you know, three times a day. But it was the beginning of my VO career. And then in 2007, I decided to just pack up the studio, get rid of the photography. End of it, opened up a studio in a kind of a mostly voiceover recording in a quiet end of a shopping mall, a strip mall, before I built my first big studio in 2013. But in that 6 year period there, I was refining my sound, learning how to audition, just trying to upgrade everything. I was gaining clients. So it was a great, you know, 6 year opportunity to just slowly build what I wanted to do. In 2007, I never looked back when I, you know, built the other studio and just said, that's it. I'm a voiceover guy.
That's great. And you do you've done a lot of things for a lot of neat clients. Outdoor Channel. You're involved with some stuff with the Outdoor Channel. Is that correct?
Yeah. There's a hunting program I've been voicing, narrating for 11 seasons now, I believe.
What's the show? I love the Outdoor Channel.
It's called Country Boys Outdoors.
Okay.
And it's a, they run it pretty often, you know, throughout any given week.
Yeah.
But they like me because, well, it started with the voice, and then I started being able to sound like I was out there in the woods, you know, with the film crew and up in the deer stand. And I learned all the logo, and they have their own little language, you know, on. And I knew when to chuckle here and there. And they kind of liked the life I was putting into the scripts because there were no cues on the scripts. There never are any cues. And I don't even see the episodes. They just send a script and I know what they want. And I give them a couple of options if I need to. And it's a lot of fun, you know, because I'm not a hunter.
No.
If anything, I'm a horseman. Horse is a good part of my life, but I don't really like to shoot anything but maybe occasional varmints that come onto my property. But, you know, that's been a fun show. It's been cool. And
That's great.
Great working with the crew.
That's awesome.
I've done a couple other shows too that are similar to that, but they haven't lasted this long.
What others?
You know, I can't even remember the names of some of these shows, but there were similar outdoor hunting programs, you know, where they heard me on Country Boys Outdoors. But right. That's the one that I've been with the longest. And I do commercials that are always played on those outdoor channel and there's a couple other Pursuit channel.
Sure.
Those cable TV shows that are kind of geared for outdoorsmen.
Right.
So I do hunting products and gun products, you know, and
yeah.
different manly man products.
There were a couple of things I wanted to unpack a little bit more that you talked about with the evolution of your branding, the Voice of Americana. Mm-hmm. You're saying that people were saying things to you. What were they? What were the comments that you were starting to key in? And this is what I want folks to kind of pay attention to, because a lot of folks are like, well, I do voiceovers. How can I differentiate myself?
Yeah.
That's why I wanted you on the show, because you've done that. But it didn't just happen. You listened to what folks were telling you and you followed a path that was kind of being laid out for you, but at the same time you were creating, if that makes sense. So tell us about how, a little bit more if you can, about how this all evolved.
Yeah, I saw kind of early on, you know, there's so many guys with deep voices out there and radio people. And mm-hmm. at the time, you know, just I needed to figure out, where am I going to fit in this industry?
Right.
And the things they kept talking about were things that were kind of already in my blood, you know, the outdoor stuff, the horse stuff, all the various things I've done throughout my life. And I'm talking about a kid that was raised in the suburbs of Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I didn't grow up on a farm, but everybody thinks I have, and people don't even place me from Western Pennsylvania. They think maybe I'm from Texas. And
yeah,
I do
yeah.
a lot of work out in Texas and Oklahoma and the West. I just kind of figured, you know, I'm going to let my clients determine where I need to market, because I don't market beyond my niche or whatever you want to.
Yeah, I'll get you.
You know, it doesn't make any sense to do that. And you kind of have to figure out what your signature sound is as a VO guy or girl, and market only in that direction, because you're going to waste your time trying to be everything. And I knew right off the bat that I didn't want to go there. So just listening to my clients talk and reading what they'd say about me, and you know, asking for reviews and asking what did you hear in that audition that you want me to do right now in this session? And they'd say certain things, and I'd write those words down, you know, and some of them were just gravelly working man, or you know, you just sound like you know, you get out there and you get your hands dirty. Yep. They like that kind of stuff. Everything completely the opposite of, like, you know, anything technical oriented. I stay away from, or anything medical, you know, I avoid that like the plague. I mean, there's nobody wants to listen to me, you know, speak medical terminology. So, you know, I could eliminate a lot of things. And when I started doing that, I started getting rid of the garbage in my brain, you know, and just hone down to what I really am all about and what I enjoy personally. So I was kind of just living out my voiceover dream on my weekends on my horse ranch. I don't have horses anymore, but I did for a long time in the old place I lived at for 22 years. You know, when you can be that relaxed into your career and actually believe what you're talking about all the time, it's kind of nice. Maybe it's even cheating, but it's the way that I developed my sound, and
so
I never kind of looked back.
There's so much in what you just said that I almost want to hit rewind and play that part again.
Well, I hope so, because I don't want to ramble. I just want to be informational if I can.
No. There's so much information there, and it's just important not to just kind of gloss over what you said. You listened to what people were telling you. You wrote it down, but you also said it was you. It's authentic, and you bring that authenticity to your performance. You have to, and you're not trying to pretend to be something that you're not.
Right.
And I say this in the context of I hear from a lot of voiceover folks, and they, and I've been guilty of this too. So I'm not, what I say applies to me is what I'm trying to get across. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks will say, I do voiceovers, and they'll do any genre. And I suppose you probably have to do that for a while to get some stuff under your belt. But like you, there are certain scripts and things that I'm not suited for. Like when it's, you know, some club and some dance club kind of a thing, you know, I'm not your guy. You know, it's just, I mean, I can do it, but I'll do in the script and I'm just like, it's like putting on a pair of shoes that don't fit right. You know, it's just, you know, it's just, this isn't real for me. It's harder. And so what you're saying is this is what you're doing is just, yeah, I can identify with this, and you've been able to build something so that you do stuff that you want to do and you enjoy doing. And that comes through. And I would encourage people to listen to that and figure out what that is for themselves. Cause some folks are really good at medical narration. One of the things, and I want to tie it back to the message of this podcast, Rick, if you'll allow me, mm-hmm. that I always talk about, you know, when people are getting started in voiceover, everybody has a history. Everybody has a whole set of life experiences. And how can you take those life experiences and make voiceover a part of those? How can you pull from those life experiences and put that yeah. into your voiceover? And how can you create products and services using those skills that you have in other areas of your life, but also with the voiceover and the performance skills that you're acquiring and or have? So I think you illustrated beautifully how you went about doing that. And so people just need to be able to do that for themselves.
Yeah, I think that's important. The you know, I've taught some beginning type voiceover classes, intro to voiceover. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, just if you're changing your career, you're coming from a medical background, you're a nurse, you're a pharmaceutical salesperson, use that experience. Don't just throw it away. It's like, oh, I got to change now because I'm going to go into voiceover. So, you know, right. I've got to get rid of all that. No. Carry all that knowledge with you, because you know how to ramble through that medical terminology. And that's what the doctors out there want to hear, you know. The medical people, they want to hear all that. They, you know, and they're not looking for a character sound. They're looking for technical sounds and clarity and somebody that really believes in all, no matter what you've done in the past, especially if you're changing careers, use that knowledge and just bring it to your sessions.
You know, if there's other things that you want to be interested in and participate in, by all means, but again, you're interested in it. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the Voice of Americana, and how does your newsletter work for you? Does that help you keep in touch with current clients? Obviously, it worked on our speaking together, because I was like, you've had this brand for a while, but for whatever reason, it really jumped out at me this time. There was a video. Was it about the car race? Was that on there?
Well, it's the Nashville Fairgrounds as a hell of a history here.
Okay.
And NASCAR has run races over there, and they're interested in buying this property and just making a great big huge deal out of a NASCAR track right there in this little neighborhood. Mm. But there's a lot of people in Nashville that really don't want that where it's at, because it can be used for so many other things related to the music business, affordable housing, an amphitheater, and believe it or not, a small straight drag strip type for electric vehicle racing, which ought to be interesting. A lot quieter, because this is in an old neighborhood, and I don't know how they can live down there around this, all this noise. I mean, if you've been to a NASCAR race, it is noisy, man. It's loud. I'm not a regular NASCAR guy, but I've been to some races before, and yeah. and that's the controversy here in Nashville over this. And so I was, that first video, it's a series of videos. And that first one was talking about the history behind it, because it's been all sorts of things over there. The flea market, Country Music Association's had their fanfare over there, which wow. they now call the CMA Festival, which is all country music people meeting, the artists meeting the fans. And it's a big deal around the world, you know, it's a huge amount of money poured into the city whenever they have that over there. It's been used for so many different things. And I wanted to tell that story. And a guy kind of found me by listening to another story that I was talking about from some Nashville steam engines. He found me through that. So it was right up my alley. And we're still kind of working on things because I think I did done three videos for this. But that was in that particular newsletter. That right. was your question, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was, and I just wanted to know how your newsletter was working for you.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Yeah, it works pretty well. It's like any other emailer, you know, that you put out. I mean, you get about I think technically they say 2 to 5% response.
Open rate, yeah.
Yeah, but I've got about 3,500 people on a mailing list that I try to keep updated through LinkedIn. A lot of people are LinkedIn contacts. So I send that out every few months and,
there you go.
You know, so yeah, it's working in that regard. And some people keep those things around. I've had people that, you know, contact me over a year later with an old newsletter, you know, replying to an old newsletter to talk about a new project coming up. So if they're hanging on to them, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's worth something. There's a value to it. One of the things that you said, and I want to give you the opportunity, we got to watch our time. One of the things that you did was you sent over a few links, one to your website, but also a veterans organization that you're involved with that's important to you. And I wanted you
yeah.
to have an opportunity to talk about that.
Yeah, they're called Veterans Outreach. They're headquartered up in Ohio. I believe they've got 5 or maybe 6 offices now. Mm. They've been around for about 24 years, I think. I got involved with them in 2000, I guess. I helped them produce a patriotic CD here in Nashville. And it wasn't your typical cheesy kind of music. It was stuff that I sought out and found some really good recording acts here in Nashville to record these either songs that I found for them and matched them up or they had or had written themselves and I produced the album. So that was the beginnings of my dealings with Veterans Outreach. And they still have downloads from that album all the time from their website. So it's pretty cool. But they're a great organization. These guys are not connected with the government or the VA. They're totally on their own. And they've been able to just really get into the community and help out homeless veterans. There's 50 or 60,000 of them around the country, you know, currently. All the veterans' problems that exist, the aftermath of war, veterans of all ages. And I'm a U.S. Navy vet, so
right.
I'm connected in that way too. But I've just watched them grow. I talk to them regularly. They send me their, John Eli is the guy that heads up the program. And he started it a long time ago because of his brother, who was a disabled Vietnam veteran, who passed away fairly recently, I think.
Mm.
So I've got a soft spot, I guess, for veterans and this particular group, since they are not funded by the government or subsidized in any way. And they've got some good contributors now that they just acquired, I think, over 100 acres to build a whole bunch of facilities on that was donated to them by an old veteran. But I've just watched them grow and help people. It's pretty important. A lot of vets out there, you know, just they want to turn this into a kind of a working farm for veterans with living spaces, a place to help raise animals and grow crops, various things that veterans need, of course, some medical attention, all sorts of veterans' needs, really, that he's catering to. He's been wanting something like this for a long time, John Eli, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, they found this person, so it's a major deal to create this, and I'm sure they have to go kind of slowly because of the money involved in creating all this, but this is the latest thing up there, and they seem to be progressing right along, and they get a lot of press up there, and they've got, like I said, 5 different offices around the country in various cities, and they go around and, you know, interview those people and let the public know what they're doing in those communities. It's a cool organization. I mean, we need something that's a little more personal than the VA, you know.
Yeah.
Glad to have the VA, but the bureaucracy in the VA is huge, you know.
Oh, sure. The website there is veteransoutreach.org. Is that correct, Rick?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct. And they always accept donations. You know, you can read their newsletter and read more about them and get more specifics than I can tell you here, you know.
And why don't you give out everybody your contact information as well?
Yeah. My website is ricklancestudio.com. And you can get to me at rick@ricklancestudio.com.
That's the way to do it.
Studio, not studios. People want to make me bigger than I am, which is cute, but not accurate.
RickLanceStudio.com.
Yes.
That's awesome. If there's one thing you want to share with our audience as a result of hearing our conversation and with an eye toward advancing a voiceover career in general, what's one thing you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I touched on it earlier. Find your signature sound and don't market beyond that. That's easier said than done, maybe, but listen to your clients. Listen to where your voice fits in. Listen to, watch the type of work that you do. You know, what are you getting the most of? And lean in that direction.
Is that how you would say people need to find their signature sound? It's not something that you can really come up with on your own. It's, you're saying find your signature sound by listening to what's coming toward you. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, kind of analyzing why you were hired for certain jobs. What is the thing that they heard in your voice, you know, for that particular job? Ask that right away at the front of your sessions. You know, ask them, what did you hear in my demo that you want to hear now? And they'll gladly explain, because they want to have a good session with you. They'll tell you exactly what they liked and what they might not have liked. And hone in on that stuff, write it down, and just keep your marketing right in that direction, and don't try to market to people that aren't going to be interested in your voice. I mean, I know that sounds simplistic, but it's true. You know, it's just yeah. keep it simple. You know, the signature sound is really, that's your money voice. That's the one you want to go after. And even if you think that your voice is so average, and because you know, and you and I both know, you can walk down the street and talk to somebody that says they're a voice actor, and they have this most ordinary voice you've ever heard in your life, but they can do like 50 different characters at the drop of a hat,
right?
You know, they're working in anime and all these big, this video production. And that's amazing if that's what you can do. But otherwise, you know, just find that voice that where you're comfortable at, and look at your hobbies, look at your interests in your past, you know, just whittle it all down, get rid of all the garbage. And then just hone in on that one thing. And that's what'll make you a good VO person, you know, and give you a career.
That's great. I said it beautifully, sir. I really appreciate that. That's
thank you. Great.
I want to thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
RickLanceStudio.com.
That's it.
And veteransoutreach.org, correct?
Yes.
All right. Rick, thank you so much, man.
You're welcome, John. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Our program originates in the Boston studios. We hope you'll join us again. Until then, we bid you au revoir, keep your chin up, and the best of luck.
Well, that's it for this episode of the VoiceOver Marketing Podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to it at voiceovermarketingpodcast.com so you'll get notices of new episodes. And please share it with your friends and colleagues in the voiceover world. Also, it would be a huge help if you'd like this podcast and rate it to help keep it near the top of the list. Feel free to share your comments and questions about this episode and future topics you'd like discussed at voiceovermarketingpodcast.com. And if you'd like more information on one-on-one coaching with me and mastermind group opportunities where we focus on growing your business, feel free to drop me a line at my cyber assistant's email address at mike@johnmelly.com. Thanks for listening. Now go out there and share your voice with the world.